Intervju Radija Študent.
Dobar dan, lep pozdrav terminu za Eriš intervju. Danes smo mislili uživo gostiti Rafaela Torala, pa žal se ni išlo, ker je šele par trenutkov nazaj prišel v Ljubljano, tako da smo na hiter posneli intervju, ker zdaj ga čaka torej soundcheck v kinu Šiška, kjer danes večer ob 21. nastop, mislim, da pred njim, oziroma v obliki inštalacije, nisem čisto prepričan, z njim nastop še en portugalski ustvarjalec, sicer André Gonçalves, ne vem, če sem prav izgovoril. Sicer pa Rafael Toral je zelo priznano ime v polju eksperimentalne ali pa improvizirane, tudi sound art, pač improvizirane glasbe, sound arta, svoje začetkih je igral tudi kitaro, bil zelo priznan kitarist, sodeluje pa zelo različnimi ustvarjalci, med njimi se pač najde cela kopica praktično ni ustvarjalca v polju improvizirane ali pa svobodnjaške glasbe, s katerim Rafael ne bi sodeloval, med njimi na primer od Johna Zorna, če omenimo najbolj znane, John Zorn, Jim O'Rourke, potem skladatelj sodobne klasike oziroma sodobne kompozicije Phil Niblock, potem sodeluje v zasedbi Mimeo skupaj z naprimer Christianom Fenezom pa Kitom Rovom pa še kopico drugih priznanih glasbenikov, pa da ne bomo preveč dolgovezali, dajmo kar slišati torej posnetek intervjuja, ki smo ga pred parimi minutami posneli tukaj na Radio Študent, torej Rafael Toral. Govori pa predvsem torej v projektu, ki ga nocoj predstavlja v kinu Šiška, gre za Space Studies, pa ker se je sam zelo razgovoril, nisem niti preveč posegel za vprašanje, ker pač gre za zelo obsežne teme. Pa dajmo torej kar slišati, kaj povedal.
So, Rafael, I introduced you as a sound artist, musician and innovator. Is one of these terms maybe closer to you?
Sound artist, musician
and innovator. You know, you do your own instruments. On the other hand, sound art, you sculpture basically with your hands. You sculpture sound with your hands. And on the other hand, you started as a musician, as a guitarist, and then you went on to electronics and stuff like that. So which one of these terms do you feel closest to, maybe? Is a nice mixture of all three?
I definitely think of myself as a musician. I've done some activity in visual arts and sound arts installations and stuff like that. But since I started the space program, I devoted myself totally to music, because it just takes all my creative energy. I don't know if it's innovative. Maybe it is. It's the space program is made of several ways of thinking and approaching music, and all of them have been done before. But I never found them done in this way, in this configuration. It's not up to me to say if it's innovative.
Well, the innovation part, I was thinking to you making your own instruments.
Well, that's not new. Lots of musicians make their instruments.
Yeah, well, but you make your special kind of instruments, you know, one that aren't common. So when did that interest come up?
Well, sometimes you find sounds in devices that you just can't make with instruments that you can buy in a store. Mm-hmm. But I think creating your instruments is not something new. It's been done
in the past,
many times, and it continues. There's brilliant engineering and people doing amazing instruments. Mm-hmm. What is special about what I'm doing is that I'm using these instruments that I make in a way that that allows me to play music as an instrument, mm-hmm. which is maybe it sounds redundant, but in electronic music, what you see more is the instrument is used as a machine,
mm-hmm.
and not as a saxophone, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Like you put a saxophone on the table, and it does nothing. So I like my electronic instruments to have that quality. They don't do nothing. They don't have a play button. They don't loop or things like that. They're not automatic. So you have to take them and be physically active on them.
So basically and use them as traditional instruments in a way.
As physical instruments. As mm-hmm. instruments that require human action to be played. But not only that, there's lots of interfaces and instruments designed in that way. but what makes it more apart from what we've been seeing in the past is that there is a cultural detachment from the history of electronic music, which is historically has always been around the either the technological source, what kind of synthesizer, if it's tapes or studio procedures, algorithmic composition and software, blah blah, and the result. So historically, there's since musique concrète and tape music.
It was kind of pre-composed.
It was pre-composed, so the composition was the tape,
mm-hmm.
and there still is a lot of that culture these days, in which an electronic piece of music has to be recorded. It only exists as a recording,
mm-hmm.
What I'm doing is to make electronic music that's based primarily on performance, and what's important to me is that it's a performance that is not improvised and it's not composed, and it's not a compromise between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it's not improvised because improvised music is music where you make decisions but don't use a system. It's all about intuition, but there's no discipline. In the history of electronic music, there's a lot of discipline and no intuition.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that I wanted to make music that had a system, that had a discipline, so I could improvise within a system. So I could be intuitive but disciplined at the same time, and not be not in a situation where anything can happen. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have a performing situation where I know what are my musical tools, my musical structures,
mm-hmm.
that I can make decisions on. And when I decided that I wanted to make music like that, I just tried to learn from history, from what had been done. And I quickly realized that the field of music where you could find intuition and discipline together is jazz music.
Mm-hmm.
So jazz musicians play in a system, which is the Western system of chords and scales and all these the rhythmic signatures and all the music theory that's behind it, and they make creative decisions on that system. So that's called improvisation in jazz. So when you hear a jazz musician talking about improvisation, that's what he's talking about making decisions using the system.
Mm-hmm.
So what's really new about the space program that I've been doing since the last 7 years is that I'm making music in model as jazz, in the same approach or equivalent as having this in common with jazz, being that it's based on decisions, on intuitive decisions, but based on a system and discipline. But using instruments that really have nothing to do with chords or scales or Western culture tradition. So this is really not jazz music. It is created and thought having jazz as a kind of a model, but at the same time it's completely alien. It's like as if people from Mars or Jupiter came to Earth and wanted to play jazz music. So the instruments have the qualities that electronic music has. They're full spectrum, they make all kinds of strange sounds, from very low to very high, from very clean to very dirty, to simple and complex, which is very common to electronic music. But then they are played in a phrasing way, in a way that has a melodic shape into account, pretty much as jazz music, as happens in jazz music.
Perhaps, but there's a bit of a difference between jazz and what you do in way of using an instrument. I mean, a classic music instrument is can be, you know, it's used in a certain way. Is there room for unpredictability when you use your instruments?
Exactly. That's a good question, and that's one of the important aspects of the space program, which is, every instrument is built to be played in a certain way, and all the cultural, all the technical culture of the instrument comes from having been built for a technique. Like a violin is built in a way that it's supposed to be played with a bow, percussion is supposed to be hit by mallets or drumsticks, and saxophones have this reed that you blow on, and keys to change the length of the tube. So my instruments have the same. They are good for doing something and not good for doing other things, and they are played with a certain technique that I had to discover and develop for each instrument. And all of them have a margin for error. So when I can be very sharp about deciding that I'm going to do a sound and know what sound I want to do, and I make the action, but the sound that comes out is not exactly what I may be expecting. It can be a little different. So there's always this range of unpredictability.
So there's some relation to aleatoric music, probably to ideas of John Cage and...
No.
It's all... you all have very well structured in your mind what you want to... how you want it to sound, how you want it to make it, to put it in a structure.
Yes. Cage is all about non-intention, so to create a musical structure that will happen regardless of the musician's intentions. Which is a little bit debatable, because the score already has the intention, like it's a string quartet. It can be a chance composition,
right,
but it's supposed to sound in a certain way. So and Cage will write it in a way that it sounds like that, but nobody can guess which is the next note. This is a totally different field. Actually, this is a very interesting detail, because my friend, trumpet player, say Miguel, he noted that Cage reached a kind of a frontier, and he wouldn't pass beyond. which was he wanted to get rid of intention and to make music that didn't depend on his will. Mm-hmm. So he used chance operations to and aleatoric procedures to write music. But then the performer will have to read the score and play it as it is written, even if he has to make his own decisions. So the logical step beyond would be to opening up to the performer's intentions. Mm-hmm. And then we would cross the border into jazz.
Right.
And he never did that. So that's the mm-hmm. difference. About the unpredictability and the chance. It's embedded in the instruments, but it's fully intentional. It's all about making personal decisions. There's an interesting consequence of playing instruments which don't respond with absolute accuracy to your performing action, which is once I can never be accurate about the sound, I cannot have it, how should I say it? It can't be codified. So if you play a piano, you can play chords, but some chords can be sad and some chords can be happy, or you can generate meaning with the musical structures of the culture the piano was built for. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that with electronic instruments that don't behave in a predictable way. So the consequence of that is that I have to go after the instrument. I do this sound, and then I have to decide what's going to be the next sound, but I have to take the previous one into account and go from there. So the instrument is always ahead. That means that since I can't generate meaning and the music can't be codified, it's free from myself. Mm-hmm. Because I can be very sharp, but I cannot generate meaning. So for me, it's the supreme form of musical freedom that I can imagine, to make a music that's it's disciplined, it's intuitive, it's physical, it's all about what you can play. But it's not about you. It's about nothing. It's just pure music.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a very interesting topic that, as you said, could be debated in a long way, but you are in a hurry for a sound check. So maybe just one last question. Tonight you're doing the show, and on your records, the source material, the sound you recorded with acoustic musicians. Is that so?
Because for the Space Elements, the Space Elements series is a series of recordings in the space program, in which I am supposed to record 10 records, and 5 already released. And there are two series, the solo series and the Space Elements series. The Space Elements series features guests, and not necessarily playing electronics. Some are drummers or mm-hmm. all kinds of musicians playing other instruments.
And the series you're doing tonight is Space Studies.
Yes, Space Studies is the live form of the solo performance.
Mm-hmm. So where does the sound source come for this performance tonight?
So I'll play 3 parts. Two of them are with modified amplifiers, one of them with feedback and the other with some kind of short-circuiting. Mm-hmm. And I also play an electrode oscillator, which is a twin square wave oscillator that both oscillators modulate each other. And It's the touch of the body that makes them oscillate. So it's the body that makes the sound.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so sounds excellent. So I would just like to thank you for taking the time for this interview.
Okay, I'm glad we can make it. It's my first time in Slovenia, so I'm uh-huh. very happy to be here in Ljubljana.
First time in general or first time performing?
First time ever.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll see you tonight. Thank you.
Okay, have a good time.
Thank you.
Takole, torej je bil torej intervju ali pa bolj rečen monolog Rafaela Torala, torej portugalskega ustvarjalca, kreativca, ki danes večer nastopi v kinu Šiška. Stvar ne bi se začela ob 9. uri, je pa prost vstop, tako da seveda vsi vabljeni, boste videli torej kako Rafael te ideje, ki jih je torej predstavil v tem pogovoru oziroma monologu v dejani, torej v živo. Intervju sem pripravil Goran, lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.